Hare Krishna, welcome everyone. So we'll just briefly review what we covered last time. We started 8th chapter, we did 1 to 5, right? Anybody wants to share something? How many questions Arjuna is asking?
Eight.
So what are some of these questions? What is Brahman? What is the answer? Living entity is Brahman. What is self? No, Brahman is living entity. Yeah.
Eternal nature to serve
is a self. What are fruitive activities? Okay, you should. Karma. What is karma?
Creation by the force of material consciousness. I'm just reading.
Karma is the activities by which the living entity takes different bodies, right? Okay, what is the other questions? Manifestation.
With a lot of sacrifice, progressively live in the body, and how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death?
Okay, so how does the Lord of Sacrifice, who is the Lord of Sacrifice?
Krishna.
Krishna, so as a super soul, right? How does he live within the body? As Paramatma, he lives within the body. So how does one know Krishna at the time of death? That's the last question.
That's what you mostly explain.
Sorry?
Engaging in
devotional service. You were saying something? Devotional service. So Krishna dedicates the rest of the chapter to answer that question. So it's not answered yet. Okay. So we'll cover from verse number 6 onwards today. Start text number 6. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tat bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. So remember the earlier verse, text number 5, Krishna specifically says, whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering him, at once attains his nature. So that is specific. He says, whoever remembers him, he will attain him. But this verse is a general statement now, generalizing. So whatever state of being one remembers at the time of quitting his body, that state he will attain. So if, you know, as we discussed, right, like the moment of death, it's like the whole life, whatever we experience, it goes like a reel in front of us. So whatever we are more attached to, more attracted to, it just stops there. So your mind is stuck there. So that's what we'll remember. So that one we'll attain next life. Whole life, if you are working hard, you know, to attain certain position or something, you know, the moment of death, we'll remember that if we didn't attain it. Yeah. Then we'll attain, Krishna gives a facility to attain that state next life. You know?
So if that means someone should not be very ambitious and someone not be passionate about career wise, means what do we mean by that? Do you mean one should not be.
It's a good point to clarify. No, it's like what are we, who is the beneficiary? That's what determines everything, right? We always discuss like any activity, it's not, you cannot say it's Maya or for devotional service to Krishna. Activity itself doesn't say anything. You see somebody working, you cannot say is he working for Krishna or is he working for himself. The consciousness is what is the matter. So when we are ambitious, career-oriented, is it for ourselves? Is it to gratify our ego, or you know, to have a status quo in the society, or to have to be on par with our friends and relatives? Is it because of that, or is it because maybe, you know, I was poor when I was childhood, so I always had this craving for money? So something, you know, something, is it satisfying for ourselves?
I should earn more, I can serve Krishna in a better way.
Yeah, so that also could be, that's a better, but a little bit better way. No, I feel my main connection to, my main service to Krishna is to sponsor, like, you know, to help projects. And my main, abilities, different people have different abilities, right? Like, you know, some people can speak, some people can cook, some people. So if I feel my main propensity is to, you know, I can make business easily. Now I have very good hand in making business, making money. Then I can use all that skill to make that, but I will give everything to Krishna. Then it's for Krishna. Then you'll remember Krishna, but you'll not remember. We discussed this example, right? Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was instrumental in building Krishna Balaram temple. So he was, it's all like in India, right? All not politics and then corruption and all those things. So he was always thinking about cement being corrupted and he's getting cheated, especially he doesn't know the local language. In India, you know, always they try to cheat. He's always thinking about, you know, how he gets cheated, how to build this temple. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, everybody in Vrindavan remembers Radha Krishna, say Radha 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 Krishna Krishna. And even our God brothers, everybody, they're chanting nicely. I'm not even able to chant properly. Whenever I chant, I'm thinking about, you know, something is going to happen to the project. I'm always thinking about all these so-called material elements. And he said, that's okay. This is your service to Krishna. If you do this nicely, you know, at the moment of death, Lord Chaitanya will personally incarnate and make you remember Krishna, he said. So it seems like he's thinking about matter. But it's because it's service to Krishna, it's completely transcendental. Okay? So then, so here is Krishna is saying a general statement. So whatever we remember, that consciousness, that's what we'll attain in the next life. So we'll read this sweet paragraph, purport, very nice.
Understanding?
Yeah.
The process of chanting one's nature the process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of the death is here explained. A person who at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharata, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life, and so he in his next life he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although a deer, he remembered his past activities. He had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life, one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental, spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare is the best process of successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life.
Yes, yeah. So Srila Prabhupada is making some important points. He was saying, you know, it's very important to, it's not like anything we do in this life and we can remember Krishna at the moment of life. So it takes the whole life to practice, right, in order to attain that success. And the question he is asking is, how can one die in a proper state of mind? Then he is giving example of Bharat Maharaj, right? He went through three lives. First life, he almost came to the Bhava stage. But because he left the association of devotees and he went into forest to do meditation on his own, then he saw the deer, he's giving birth to the baby child while crossing the river. Then he felt pity and then he started taking care of the baby and slowly he started giving up his practices. It's like, oh, this baby is dependent on me completely. No, this is another illusion actually. Krishna is maintainer. Krishna is the ultimate maintainer. But oftentimes, it's so deep actually, this illusion, thinking that I am actually the maintainer. I am the one providing for my wife and children. Without me, nothing works. And sometimes we even think, you know, without me, this service doesn't work. Prabhu always shares many experiences, how he went through so many phases. Like initially, he changed the service. Initially, he was used to wash dishes. And also initially, used to Saturday, we used to help cooking or something. He used to help, I think. I don't know what I was doing. But after we got married or something happened, we had to change. But it took some time, like almost 2-3 months, he was thinking, you know, oh, without me, how will it work? You know, how will it function? Rasavati Mataji, you know, I'm helping her so much. She's alone. So much he thought. But suddenly something or the other, he stopped it. And he saw actually other people came and helped her. So many other services, he felt the same experience. You know, that's the thing. We think without us, nothing works. Actually, you know, we are instrument in, you know, at the same time, that doesn't give an excuse for us to escape our duty. Like, oh, Krishna is maintaining, so, you know, I'll just sit idly, I'll do some meditation, Krishna will provide for my wife and children, right? It's not like that. We are instrument in protecting our wife and children. We are just instrument. We should understand that part. So if Krishna takes that ability away, we are nothing, right? So we are instrument of Krishna's protection to our wife or children or, you know, our dependents. So like that he felt, but the deer is helpless. I am the only one to protect the deer. Then he started taking care, negligent, everything. No devotees were there to us, you know, help him, guide him. Now this is also another important point. We should have, you know, very intimate relationship with some, at least few devotees who can watch what we are doing, and if at all we are doing mistake, they can come straight forward and tell us, you know, Prabhu, you are doing mistake. It's very important to have that intimate relationship. Then because of that, the moment of death, he was about to die, and he was looking for that, it disappeared, right? Deer disappeared, he was looking, was searching for it everywhere. And he was remembering all the time, and then suddenly he saw that the deer jumped off the cliff, right? And he fell down. Then immediately he thought about the deer and he ran behind the deer, and the deer fell down. Then he also died at that time. But because even though he was in that state, he lost all his practices in order to, you know, give him another chance. Krishna gave him that body of the deer. But he kept his remembrance. So even as a body of a deer, he remembered all his devotional services. So anyway, he went through this deer, because as a deer, he cannot make any progress in devotional life. Then again, he was given another life as Jadabharat. He was born in a Brahmana family. But because he still remembered, all his practices, and he remembers the goal of life, in this life he was very careful. So he acted as if he is deaf and dumb, or very, you know, person who is insane. Somebody who doesn't care about any. This is very intelligent, but he acted like that so that everybody can neglect him, so he can do his bhajan nicely. So that's how he did, and in this life he perfected his life. So that's why, you know, he had to take three lives. That's a very nice example of saying that how whatever consciousness we have, we'll attain that in the next life. So another point is, you know, if one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna service, then his next body will be transcendental or not material. So why do we get material body? Now what is the reason? To fulfill the material desires, right? So we have certain desires. So based on exactly, actually it is said, based on the exact desires, a specific nose will be given to us, specific eyes. So if somebody feels bad about the body they have, no, there is nothing to feel bad about, because this is exactly what we wanted. What we deserved. No, this is exactly we deserved. You know, this that somebody says, oh, I want to be short. Somebody says, I want to be tall. Somebody says, I want to be fat. Like all this, right? No, there's no way you can escape. It's exactly what we wanted. So, but then if we don't have any more material desires, then there is no need for this material body. Unless it's for service, for preaching. Like Krishna wants, you know, you to go to a certain planet, or, you know, to assist Srila Prabhupada or some acharyas. And other than that, you know, there is no reason to have a material body. So then you can attain spiritual body, we can attain spiritual body and serve Krishna transcendentally. So everybody is, all of us are happy with our material bodies? Why are we sad about our, what is sad about our material bodies?
Because it is
temporary, permanent.
It's not permanent. At least right now it seems permanent, right? For last 1 month it's permanent. Next 1 month it will be permanent. But I'm asking very, you know, practical, rather day-to-day feelings.
Come with it, headaches,
blood pressure,
so disease,
cholesterol,
all diseases, right? We have to go through that, and then
legs,
specs and eyesight. You know, the old age, you know, everything starts failing. Eyes will not, we cannot hear. You have to put so many aids, all those things, right? Initially, young age, it's very nicely we can be in the illusion. That's why old age is actually for devotees is a blessing, it said. Because you, all your duties are relinquished and you can focus nicely in devotional service. Then what are other problems with this body?
Attachments to
Because of attachment to this body, we have attachment to its byproducts, like, you know, children and by husband and all those things. Okay.
Attraction to sense objects becomes magnified because we have the instruments.
Oh, very nice. Oh, very good. Yeah. Yeah, so we have instruments, but unfortunately, even if we don't have instruments, no, unless the desire is purified, the attraction is there. You know, there is a very nice example of an old man who is about to die, right? That example. Then, do you want to share, Prabhu?
The king takes his daughter, right? And then the old man was looking at her.
So who? He, king, is having a discussion with his minister. Saying the desires, unless it's purified, even it's in the old age, it's going to have the same effect. Then the minister is, king didn't agree. You know, how is it possible? Old age, there's no facility to fulfill those desires. So that means they die away. That's why people say, in old age, I'll take to devotional life. It's not possible. Then he said, okay, I'll show you practically. I'm going to take my daughter to this hospital where this old man is about to die. And you just watch where the old man is going to look as the daughter enters the room. Then?
So, like, when the king and the daughter goes to the old man, he was observing the princess more than the king or something.
Yeah, so the old... Yeah, old man, his eyes were fixed on the girl, young girl. So then king agreed, okay, yeah, makes sense, you know. Even though he doesn't have capacity now to fulfill those desires, the soul wants to enjoy that gratification. So that's because of that, again, he'll get a new body. Right? That's why, you know, wife... Unless it's a Krishna conscious husband, wife is attached to, devotedly in Vedic culture, wife is supposed to faithfully serve the husband. Why? You know, because next life she can become a man. Because by she remembers husband in the time of death, she becomes a male body. Because male is considered a superior birth when compared to female. So, you know, that's an advancement for the wife. But if the husband, similarly gets attached to wife, then he goes down. No, he becomes a female. No, that's why husband has to get attached to Krishna or, you know, Supreme Lord.
In that manifesto, all this ashram, four ashram is there. It's meant for the men, basically.
Sannyasa, right?
The wife will stay with the elder children and then husband can...
Yeah. Manuprastha, still husband and wife can travel different places. Like they leave the family and they go to different places for preaching and all. They can stay together. But after some time, in sannyasa means, yeah, wife will not be there next to the husband. Okay, then, so when all this, but you know, where there is one another very, very interesting reason why this material body is, I was thinking somebody will say that, is not so good.
These
are all same things, right? No, the thing is, it is a blockage to do complete devotional service to the Lord.
She said that, that's what she started out.
Which one?
The point that you are mentioning.
No, these are all like, you know, senses will become weak, all those things. No, but the point is, this body, as long as it is there, we can use it in serving the Lord. But when we have that bhava prema, we feel this 6 hours sleep is, you know, it's blocking me from serving Lord. To maintain this body, I have to eat something, to sleep some time. So the pure devotees, they think, no, why I have this material body? If I have spiritual body, I can serve my Lord constantly. They feel that as a burden. We are happy with this material body, you know, we are happy that we have it. But pure devotees think, of course, they don't, you know, abruptly relinquish the body or something, you know, because it's used for service of the Lord. Sometimes they even pray that, you know, I want to do more service. That's why we discussed last time examples, right? Where Prabhupada says, my mission to my spiritual master is not complete. Please pray to the Lord so that I can remain some more time. They can do even that. But otherwise, they think, you know, the feelings of love they are experiencing, this material body cannot sustain. So the spiritual feelings. That's what, you know, they share. No, I don't have that experience, but that's what one of the point I heard. Okay, so then what is the best process to change the one's nature? Chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Krishna, non-different from his name. So when we start chanting, hopefully when we start remembering Krishna, then hopefully when we'll, by that process we'll get purified. And if moment of death, if we luckily we are fortunate, we should pray actually that, you know, we should have devotees around us chanting the holy name. Then we can remember Krishna. The moment of death. So this is the final exam, death. Okay, so next verse is going to be very interesting. So I think mostly I'll focus on this verse, which is very short but it's very deep. So we'll continue with the next verse then. Text number 7.
Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu ma manusmarayutyacha mayarpita mano buddhir ma me vaishyasi asamshaya.
Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. So, what is the instruction Krishna is giving to Arjuna? First, always think of him and then carry on his duty of prescribed duty of fighting. And then with activities dedicated and mind intelligence fixed, one can attain Krishna without doubt. So, yeah. So the question or, you know, confusion, connection between the verses is, because Krishna has emphasized so much, remember me, Arjuna is thinking nicely, oh, I'll sit and remember Krishna, but there is no need for fighting, right? I can sit and remember Krishna. There is no, so Krishna is clarifying, okay, think of me, but at the same time you carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. So that's a very practical. We'll read the short purport and then we'll talk about some points.
This instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in material activity. The Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's name, one will be transferred to supreme planet,
Krishna Loka, without doubt. So the main point is, you know, Krishna Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. So that means that actually whichever way we are situated, you know, whatever family situation, work situation, you know, however close or far we are from temple, whatever it is, anywhere we can become Krishna conscious, right? That's a point. So, one wherever prescribed duties, wherever one is situated, from there one can still make advancement. Of course, we can always come closer to Krishna. We can make practically choices like that. But that's one point. Other point is, no, Krishna is saying, think of me and then perform your duty. So he's saying, first think of Krishna and then do your duties. So practically for us is first we chant our rounds, then we'll get on with our duties of cooking or work and things like that. No? Because unless we remember Krishna, think of Krishna, we don't have the proper consciousness with which we should do the duties. We'll do it as mundane or we do it for sense gratification. We'll do it for our own benefit. But if we focus first thing in the morning, if we chant some rounds, at least few rounds, quality rounds, then we know whole day I'm trying to do it as service to Krishna. Then we'll remember whole day also Krishna. Okay, so that's one point. The other thing is, I want to ask this question. So how many of, for whatever 3 years or few number of years of Krishna consciousness you all have went through, did you ever experience any change with respect to, you know, your dealings with your family or work or something? Like, what I'm looking for especially is, kind of detachment or resentment or kind of dislike.
earlier, before coming to Krishna consciousness, we are full enthu at work, enthu with family, children, everything. But maybe now, after 3 years, did anybody experience any slackening? Like, you know, slackening with respect to family members or with respect, like, you know, disinterest basically.
Actually, before coming to Krishna consciousness, I used to want to go to home every year, like I want to go to India to see my parents, but now I'm like, okay, like through call, I call them and if they want, they can come, but that, the thing, like the craving to go to India every year to see my parents is decreasing.
Mm.
And I could even talk to them more better, like if we talk about Krishna and all other things. They feel better and I feel better. So it's not like the before craving, like every year I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it detached at the same time, the effect, the attachment to them increased.
Okay, okay.
So
mm-hmm.
I feel
so
better attached to them now.
Yeah.
Before going and sitting with them, it's not so good talking, but now I could see a difference in the talking and how they wanted. So everything got changed after coming back.
Very nice, yeah. That's very nice, yeah. Yeah, so basically, you know, now it's more Krishna conscious, you know, more satisfying because Krishna is the center. Otherwise, mostly it's like, you know, just sense gratification and not satisfying every time you have to still want to go again. And you are satisfied here, whatever you are experiencing Krishna, so it's satisfied, yeah. Now, I'm more looking at more examples of, you know, kind of you feel like, you know, why I should work. I would rather full-time do devotional service. Now, why I should, you know, be with my family members, I would rather, you know, full-time be devotional service. Anybody felt like that?
Yeah, I mean, initially I was very social, like I used to have a lot of friends, you know, or spend a lot of time just talking to them about nothing, you know, just, but after coming to Krishna consciousness, you know, I feel like it's a waste of time, you know, this is not going to, you know, I'm not going to go anywhere with this, so I've become more self-centered, and I like to spend, like, you know, time with myself, thinking about, you know, in terms of where I want to go in spiritual life and how can I improve my chanting or how can I improve my
spiritual life. Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah, these are all positive examples. That's how it should go. But I'm asking about negative, and I think nobody experience looks like. So okay, that's very good.
That's when he had told, take it gradually, don't jump.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. So that's good.
You will end up nowhere. So like, you need to know why you are here. So when you will go gradually, you will know why you are here.
Yeah.
So like that kind of. I understand what he said at that point of time, so I know.
Yeah, so it seems like, yeah, so that means you are all well trained, you know, you don't make mistakes, you know, like how
no,
I did.
No, not about the mistakes.
No.
Initially, we had that kind of feeling.
Like, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Initially, not normally, but
that's what I'm saying. Anytime in Krishna consciousness did you feel?
Yeah.
What, towards what?
Like everything, right? If everything is my, like, none of us are like eternal, or we are not body, soul, right? Since what is the use of this life? Why all this? Like, I used to remember that movie Matrix. I don't know if anyone saw, but
yeah.
He sees everything like Matrix. Then I think everything is like that only. We should notice that. That's why I used to think that. But
so, but did it affect? Oh, that's fine. Yeah. So, but at least I notice. I know to some extent all of you. I didn't see much, you know, affecting so drastically in your lives like that. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, but I just want to bring it up so people can think about it. So the point is, actually, when we come to Krishna consciousness, especially if you have the taste, if you have the attraction, immediate effect, usually, you know, neophytes, what happens in neophyte stage is that we start thinking everything else as maya. And we start showing disinterest or, you know, somehow because we are getting so much taste here, Krishna consciousness, so we start losing material taste, right? Whatever taste we experience at work or family members, it's not satisfying anymore. So we feel, okay, I don't want to involve it anymore. So we start becoming more detached, so-called detached, you know, that's not the right way. So the point is actually for bhakti to grow, the heart has to be soft. Now, Krishna steals butter. This butter is very soft. So our heart has to become very, very soft eventually when we offer it to Krishna. So he steals it and he enjoys. He has fun. So that's a very important point. The heart has to be very soft. So the heart becomes hard either in two ways. Either completely in sense enjoyment, like karmis. If you completely enjoy material sense gratification, the heart becomes very hard. Or if we become like impersonalist, completely negation, saying, you know, everything is Maya, thinking like that, then heart also becomes very hard. So we, basically the point is, we don't see anything's connection with Krishna. We start negating everything, you know, we become like impersonalist, the heart is very hard. So then, you know, whatever we chant, anything is there, there's no feeling actually, we become very dry. That's not at all favorable for devotional service. So very nice example is there. So the thing is, we should be in between. We should not be too attached for enjoyment, we should not be too detached. Because we should be in the middle, neutral position. The how we should be in the neutral position is, when we know everything, how we use it in Krishna's service, that's how we should. We should deal with the material world, not like, you know, negating, no, 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 I don't want, but however, whatever is its purpose in utilizing in Krishna's service, that's how much we use it and use it. But we don't use it for sense gratification. So we are neither attached nor detached. That's the best position where the heart will slowly start becoming very, very soft and it will remain like that. So one example is there, very nice example. Grihastha. I don't know exactly what the names of there, but I remember the story, so I'll share that. He goes to his spiritual master and says, "Spiritual master, I'm ready to take sannyas now. My wife passed away." Then he asked, you know, "Oh, your wife passed away, how did you feel?" "Oh, I didn't feel anything, you know." "Okay, she went." Then he said, "Okay, you just go back, you remarry, and then when you cry when your wife passes away, that's when you come, then I'll give you sannyas at that time." So if you don't have feelings for your wife, if you take sannyas, and if you don't have compassion for your wife, you take sannyasa and you try to give compassion to others, how will you get compassion for others? Wife and children are the most intimate people who are serving you so nicely, and you don't have any, you know, loving dealings with your wife, then how can you have love for others? Right? So that's the point. You know, becoming too detached, so-called detached, it's not real. Real detachment is using everything in Krishna service. That's real. Otherwise, the impersonal or false detachment will cause heart to be very hard. I'm missing the words. So, same thing I also experienced, you know, in my initial stages, you know, neophyte stages. So somehow, you know, I had a little bit taste in Krishna consciousness anyway, because I was coming from distress, right? So it was giving so much joy. And at work, somehow I was situated in a job where it was not really challenging for, you know, whatever skill set I had. But then, after 1 year anyway, I only consciously changed, but still it was still not the thing which would challenge me. So, but then I came to Krishna consciousness, so I was positively using my time to, in one way, I was thinking, you know, that's best, you know, that's the way I should do it. So I was using the time to, you know, morning I used to chant all my rounds, and I used to read, Guru Maharaj asked me to read, so I used to read, listen to lecture while eating breakfast. Sometimes lecture is interesting, even go on, even after breakfast, listen, and then go at work to at 11 o'clock, some work, and then come back at, like, you know, very early when Prabhu comes, little work. Then I was not even aware how it's impacting my, you know, the manager. I was not like, no, not even, I'm not at all interested now like that in our work. No, why am I working? It's not, you know, I would rather do full-time devotional service. Then, of course, no, I was not ready, but this is all neophyte, you know, like that we do. Then what happened, actually, another tendency neophytes do is, like, you know, we start thinking devotees are best, right? This devotional service is best, Krishna is best. Then we start looking down upon others. So, you know, in that state, you know, the way in my meetings and all, I was looking down on others. So I came across as a very arrogant person. Then, I didn't notice all this was happening. Then in the meantime, because I was somehow sincerely doing this or something, I received instruction from my spiritual master saying that work is my service. Then I started praying, you know, okay, I don't have any realization about this and I'm neglecting so much this work, you know, how do I get back to doing dutifully at least, you know, we forget about doing it lovingly. At least I should do the minimal things I should do. So I was praying every day, you know, Krishna, before starting my work, I pray, you know, this is my service, Krishna, please reveal to me how it is. Then slowly it was being revealed, and it was being revealed how many mistakes I'm making. And so at one point it came that my manager came and talked to me saying, you know, somehow, you know, we don't like you in my team, you know, you should go away. that's how worse I create the situation, which I was not even aware. I was so much nicely in illusion that I was doing devotional service. But when I started working, this is my service, and when I wanted this work, because it's my service, that's when it became reverse. Then it became so hard for me. I was so much distressed that, okay, now I want to serve work. I mean, now this is my service, and now I don't have this. You know, now I have been kicked out. What should I do? I was so much distressed. Of course, our mentors were helping me. So I had all the time. So whole time I was nicely preparing for my interviews, all those things. But still the anxiety is there, you know. Okay, now within certain time I have to actually go. It's not like on my own I am preparing for interview, then I have my own time, right? It's a very pressuresome situation. But luckily, you know, I came to a proper job, which later on, you know, helped. I stayed in that job for 5-6 years. And of course, before quitting, I stayed there only. So that time when I entered the job, I entered with this consciousness. This is my service. Then I worked very nicely, dutifully, whatever time. Every minute I was just working. If my work is done, because of the quality of chanting, my work was done very fast. I used to take up new things. It's not like I'll start doing something else. And my manager, everybody was so impressed. Very much impressed with all these things. And when I left, they said, please come back after 2 years. You know, I was about to get promotion, all those things still, but, you know, because of kids. But by the time when I quit my job, I was purified of that, you know, either detachment or attachment, both of them. Right? Before coming to Krishna consciousness, I was working for money. After coming to Krishna consciousness, I was like, oh, I'm not interested in this. But by the time I had to quit, I was not attached, I was not detached. I was doing it for Krishna. So now I don't feel anything. If it's there, it's not there, it's my service. I'm doing some other service. Like that. No, so that's the point, actually. You know, we should be very careful about these tendencies. If it's not there, it may creep up later on when we have taste or something. So I wanted to share the principles. Then, what else? So even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave instruction to Sanatana Goswami also. There's one very nice instruction. When Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they approached him to, you know, give, they were ministers, prime ministers in the kingdom. And they were like, you know, Muslims and then prime ministers, and they were very high position. They were doing so much service. But they wanted to fully devote to Lord Chaitanya, completely, you know, just become his follower and just follow his instructions. Basically, you know, become full-time brahmachari, kind of like that. They had the strong desire. Then one day they wrote letter to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all this, you know, please, you know, accept us. You know, you are the, if you, we are the worst, we are the most fallen. No, you deliver us, then you will be glorified as Patita Pavana, that you have delivered the most fallen people. You know, that's why we deserve that. Please, you know, give that mercy. Then Lord Chaitanya says, you know, I understand your mood, you know, how you are approaching me. But, you know, this is not the right time. You carry, this very nice example, this example Lord Chaitanya gives. You carry on with your, how a wife who has a paramour outside her husband, lover outside the husband, she does her household duty so meticulously that nobody suspects her. But internally, she is cultivating that love with her husband, you know, that lover outside. Like that, you know, while doing your material duties, internally you cultivate your love for Krishna. Don't disturb your situations. Don't unnecessarily, you know, spoil the things. So this is a practical thing for us, you know, while, you know, we have to do our duties of work or children or all these things, you know, instead of thinking them as all in all, I think, and becoming attached, thinking, oh, these are my people, or instead of thinking, you know, I don't care about them, nothing, whatever happens, you know, it doesn't matter, or detached, in the middle, you know, I'm just, these are my service to Krishna, seeing everybody as part of Krishna, my service and obligation to them, I'll fulfill it. Then this is a perfect way for heart to be soft. Then another incident, Lord Chaitanya gives same instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami. He's actually in a very, very affluent family, a lot of wealth they have. Their only son, so he's the inheritor, and all the parents are completely banking on him to grow up and, you know, start taking the business and become more rich, and parents were not like pure devotees. But he's a pure devotee, and he became very attracted to Lord Chaitanya. Then he's tried to escape from the home so many times, just started running away actually, to go and stay with Lord Chaitanya. But parents were keeping guards, so many people, you know, blocking his house, all those, so many things they tried. Then when Lord Chaitanya heard that he's trying to do this, all these things, then he said, you know, don't become a show bottle renunciate. Don't be a crazy fellow. Go back, this is a very nice statement. He says, you know, you enjoy this material life in a befitting manner. In due course of time, Krishna will deliver you from your existence. Krishna will send you back to me. But until that time, you enjoy this material life in a befitting manner, until the right time comes. And so he goes back and he does exactly, you know, becomes like a perfect husband, you know, parents. So that parents start relaxing the guard little bit, you know. They say like, oh, guards don't care about him now, you know, he's become a good person. So after a few, but internally he's always, you know, when will I run away? But later on after that he gets another opportunity where then he finally runs away by Lord's mercy. No, so we cannot escape this so-called material existence on our own by running away. Otherwise, if it's premature, then we'll become like that pretender, mithyachari. Then, you know, we'll go somewhere, but still we feel like, you know, I want to get married to somebody else. Because that propensity is still there and it's not properly addressed. Just because my wife is not working out with me, if I just somehow, you know, don't address my core, you know, lust and all those things, we'll have to take birth again to fix all these things. So, you know, so that's why we can't just run away. So only by Lord's mercy we can be delivered from this material existence. So if at all we have that strong desire to become fully Krishna conscious, internally we should cultivate that. So that at the point when the situation is correct, we are ready to become that full-time, you know, devotees. Of course, full-time devotees doesn't mean we have to change anything. It's the same thing, right? We still do the same thing, but we now do it for Krishna. No, we take care of family for Krishna, we take care of job for Krishna, like that, all this. I was asking this question to Prabhuji, you know. He was telling about this Madhava Prabhu, he's an excellent singer, right? He's one of the popular singers in ISKCON, wherever, you know. Now, somebody asked, he used to be a carpenter earlier, and now he just sings kirtans everywhere, you know. Devotees invite him to different places. And they, you know, take care of all his expenses, everything. And so somebody asked him, so, you know, how do you maintain? He said, you know, I'm just serving Harinam now, holy name. I'm just serving the holy name. So then I suddenly asked this question. So Prabhu, does that mean that, you know, somebody is a housewife who is not doing job, is not earning a living, she is actually, you know, completely pure devotee? Any housewife? Because she doesn't have a job. Does it mean everybody who quits job is a pure devotee? Maybe I know the answer, but sometimes I like to ask this, you know, just to hear more answers. Or sometimes you feel like you don't know, right? Even if you know, that's good to be in that state all the time. Especially when we're hearing from somebody, we should be like that. Then Prabhu said, no, it's not like that. Just think about your mom. She's housewife. But who is she taking shelter? Is she taking shelter of Krishna? No, she is taking shelter of husband who is not a devotee. Then that means she is not going to go back to Godhead because of that. So it's not about giving up duties. It's about cultivating, getting that love for Krishna. Right? So that's the point. Okay, so I think these are the points I think we wanted to share. Yeah. Yeah, same thing Arjuna also experienced, right? Initially, he wanted to fight for his own kingdom, for his own sake. After some time, when he saw his kinsmen, father-in-law, all the people, he said, I don't want to fight because it's going to cause me misery and I don't see any happiness after everybody dies. So he's saying no for his own sake again. So he's attached or detached for his own sake. But then, when Krishna says, you fight but for me, then he's neither attached nor detached. So he just does it as a duty. So, you know, that's the point Krishna is saying. Same time, we should carry out this prescribed duty of fighting. So, never ever think that, you know, you can escape from your duties. It's just, it's just show bottle renunciation. Sometimes it's hard, but still, you know, that's what Krishna wants. Chicago temple president, you know, Nityananda Pranaprabhu, you know, he so much wanted to serve devotees in the position of temple president so that he feels like he can arrange things which are favorable for them, you know, for their progress. He wanted to serve devotees actually. And somehow his work was getting very, you know, mess, lot of difficulties at work, and he was getting very frustrated. He couldn't proceed. So then he talked to his Guru Maharaj, Rompad Maharaj, and saying, you know, Maharaj, I want to quit job because it's very frustrating. Then he said, minimally you should quit job, at least in goodness. Quitting job because of frustration is a mode of ignorance. Because you are not getting some joy, you are quitting, means you, basically your propensity is not fulfilled. Because it's not working out, you are quitting. Right? It's not because, you know, you want to do some other service. The reason is different. You know, it's very different. So internally, even though he had the desire, but the reason manifested was that something, you know, where it's not working out, I want to quit. So he said, no, minimally you should dutifully quit. So then he stuck with that. Then after some time, when it was right, Maharaj only said, you know, okay, you quit your job, you can be a temple president, and now he's successfully temple president without even regretting. So that's another example. Okay. So we'll go to the next verse. Any points, any reflections on this point? Anybody wants to share anything? What are some of the main points we discussed in this one? Or some things which struck you, which you want to keep?
Your story was very...
very thing which you should not do always anytime, right? You know, we should learn from mistakes, right? Yeah. Very
whatever
nice.
Situation you are, how you can utilize that situation to your best to proceed in Krishna consciousness.
No, very nice. Yeah.
I think the last one you said, like when I'm having difficulty, don't quit at the time. I tell myself that's something. When I'm facing something, I'm not going to quit now. I'm going to keep it done.
Ah, very good. Very good.
So that's a good point. I think can make use of.
Very nice. Yeah.
Instant self-assertion. When you're going through hell, don't stay there and admire the surrounding, just keep pushing through and finish it.
Mm.
So
yeah.
It's like that, just don't do because you're in a bad position. Cross it and then evaluate yourself and see where.
Any more?
I had one regarding the previous verse when I was talking about Prabhuji, and I was thinking back to the
Prabhuji?
Seventh verse. About how his service, he is thinking.
Okay, he is.
Like Naya used to think, oh, if I don't go, what will happen? Somebody will do. Because somebody does. We are just. So that seventh chapter, sixth verse is the Sutre Maniganaya.
Yeah.
So if Krishna says that.
It's a pearl, it's a string.
Pearls on a string. So thinking about how the pearls are on a string, right? So there is only one string, there are many pearls. Like that, there is only one creator, there are many creations. So once the creation is done, you don't see the creator. Like that, it's hidden. Then there is only one Lord, and the rest are all his
servants.
The other thing is that when you look at the string of pearls, right, you think that the pearl is holding the thread.
Hmm.
Right? But when you remove the thread, you know which is holding which. So
oh, very nice.
When you
oh, very nice. So we feel, you know, under illusion that we are maintaining everything, but actually, you know, yeah, Krishna pulls the thread, that's all, capacity is gone. And yeah, so one incident Arjuna also faced, right? Like, remember? It's okay, we'll not go into that story, you know. Arjuna was so powerful in Kshatriya, so he felt it's on his own power, he won the Kurukshetra war. But later on, when Krishna wanted to teach him a lesson, later on, cowherd damsels were being kidnapped. And Arjuna was asked to go and protect them. He couldn't. He got defeated by cowherd boys. Then he felt, oh, where is all my power? Then he realized, you know, all my power is because of Krishna. You know, and I'm thinking it's because of me. So that's the illusion. Okay. So we'll go to the next verse. Text number 8. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanya gamina paramam purusham divyam yati prarthanu chintayan. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. So again, Krishna is again emphasizing remembering him. He who is mind constantly engaged in remembering me, he will surely come. It's again reassuring the same point. So we'll read a section of the purport. The first six lines in this verse.
In this verse, Lord Krishna stresses the importance of him remembering him. Once memory of Krishna is revived by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, by this practice of chanting and hearing the sound vibration of the Supreme Lord, one's ear, tongue and mind are engaged. This mystic meditation is very easy to practice and it helps one attain the Supreme Lord.
Yeah, we can pause there, Mother. Yeah, so same thing, no? Prabhupada is again emphasizing the practice. Then we'll go last few lines. The mind is fickle.
The mind is fickle and therefore it is necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. One example often given is that of the caterpillar that thinks of becoming a butterfly and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our lives we shall have the same bodily constitution.
So the point Prabhupada is saying, you know, mind will definitely take us away. Wherever, you know, we are attached to, whatever gratification we are getting, mind is going to go there. You know, while chanting also. But then we have to force the mind to think of Krishna. We should bring it back. What does Krishna say? Wherever mind goes away, bring it back under the control of the self. So that means bring it back to the hearing the holy name. When we are chanting, we should just focus on hearing the holy name. That's the way we can remember Krishna. Just hearing the holy name. All the time, you know, we should drag it back and hear the holy name. This is a very nice example. Prabhupada is saying that, you know, caterpillar is very ugly. It has so many legs, right? You know, nobody wants to, you know, even kids don't want to play with the caterpillar. But it always thinks, I want to become a beautiful person. So then it builds, after some time, it builds a cocoon on around it and it goes into some, you know, samadhi. And then it starts meditating. How will I become beautiful? Then one day it comes out as a beautiful butterfly and all the kids, everybody wants to catch and play with it now. No, like that Srila Prabhupada is saying, you know, even though now we are all, we have so many impurities and so many conditionings and so many things, just by focusing on Krishna, remembering Krishna during devotional service, we can get over all our conditionings and become pure and beautiful like the butterfly and become more attractive to Krishna. No, so this verse especially emphasizes that devotional service can help us go beyond our conditionings. No, sometimes we don't even realize actually, you know, if we have intense desire to do devotional service, we'll realize that actually our conditionings are so much holding us back. Unless we have that intense desire to serve, we'll not realize that. Because we don't even have the desire to serve, right? So we don't even feel that something is blocking. But when we have strong desire, you know, I really want to do this. But when you feel because of certain habits or something, it's going against that nature, then you feel, you know, my conditioning is holding me back. You know, like for maybe an example, somebody may be conditioned to be angry. But, you know, in devotional life, that may not be so favorable, right? So you want to practice humility, you want to be, you know, loving to others and everything. You want to try to do that. But whenever this nature kicks in and you start picking up things and you start picking up fights, then you will regret, you know, oh, I'm not able to serve. You know, if you are sincere, you should regret. Oh, I'm not able to serve Krishna favorably because of this conditioning. You know, Krishna, please help me get out of this conditioning. You know, that should be the prayer. But, you know, only by the mercy of the Lord and pure devotees, we can get over our conditionings, which are very, very strong. And somebody may be conditioned to be complacent. No, I'll not even step out and do anything extra for my job or even though it's needed, you know. Even though somebody is suggesting to do it, you know, we feel like, oh no, I'm good, I'll do like this, continue like this. No, that's conditioning of being complacent. But if we somehow, you know, submit to the instructions of superiors and spiritual master, we'll be able to get out of this conditioning and that's a surrender actually. That's a surrender. So, do anybody wants to share, you know, some of the things you feel, you know, like conditioning which have been blocking you or something, which you either overcome or you're struggling or you hope to overcome?
Anger issues. My anger just pops up with this, especially with when I'm at home, because I know that whatever I do, they take it, and then later I apologize also, even to my son or my daughter, I apologize. Because I know they can take it, maybe, I don't know, it comes out like this, and then I said, oh good Lord, what have I done, and then it goes. I keep holding my head and there's nothing I can do because the words have come out, the emotion has come out. I'm struggling very much with it, it doesn't go away. So.
Yeah, this you can just pray, you know, we'll all pray and... Yeah, that's why conditions are very strong. We need lot of mercy, you know. When you chant, that's why you should chant with the mood of, you know, dependence. Like, you know, when I started you know, when I started, you know, thinking work as my service, right? Then I started noticing so many things were blocking me, actually. You know, because I really wanted to do service, but somehow some discussions or, you know, the impression I created were blocking me. So I felt it was very difficult for me to handle the day, actually. It was very intense. Then that helped me to develop more dependence while chanting. So before I go to work, I felt, you know, unless I chant very sincerely and, you know, with a mood of dependence, I cannot handle my day. I felt I came to that state of dependence on the Lord. Then the whole day goes, you know, at least I can handle a little bit better. Then, of course, situations changed and it was much better. No, so that should, any difficulty we face, it should impel us to take more shelter of Krishna. That's the best way. You know, that's yoga maya then. Otherwise, it's mahamaya. You know, it's just making us go into anger and, you know, ignorance. So when you feel like, you know, I have this strong tendency and I'm not able to handle it myself, then all the more we should, when you chant, you should chant with that amount of dependence, you know, please help me, you know, that one. Any other examples anybody wants to share?
Mataji knows, like, I'm going through something, situation similar to that. Prabhuji and Mataji guided me to like chant sincerely and by hearing and with dependence. So I'm trying to start, I'll do that. But it's a lot of issues of complacency at work. So I'm trying to overcome that. So I wanted to share that.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, we are all praying sincerely, you know. They can overcome that, you know. But we should put a sincere effort then. Prayers and mercy are there to, you know, overcome. It's very nice. Yeah. Any more incidents anybody wants to share? Yeah, how you feel, you know, something you want to do for Krishna, but somehow certain characteristics or tendency or conditioning, which is, you were also sharing 1.5 years.
Yes, chanting. Slacking. I want to improve my chanting rounds, but I was not able to improve, like increase. Up to some extent I went, and then it, like for 1.5 years I was just staying there. That I cannot cross there, but... couple weeks back, by talking Mataji and Prabhuji, I just crossed that bar.
So you feel now, you know, you can do it again, yeah. Right? So it's that's the conditioning, it's holding us back. So when we take shelter of devotees and, you know, ask for blessings and prayers, we'll get the strength to cross over that hurdle. Yeah.
Before coming to this house, we used to chant 16 rounds, but after 3-4 days, break.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Seems like years ago.
Like after coming here, talking to Mataji, and they gave us some tips, and they said about the importance of chanting. Now, miraculously, we will not even skip one day also in the middle. Even though it is 11, 12 in the night, we will finish it. And nowadays, we are trying to chant in the morning.
Morning.
It is very impossible
for yeah.
I'm also like planning a lot, but it's not working out still.
Yeah, so we should pray in that case, you know.
Doing in the morning.
Yeah.
Sometime back I was able to do for a few weeks, but after that it's again.
Yeah.
I cannot, not able to manage in the morning. But I experienced that few weeks of time, it was very good. I can memorize still.
You always try, you can keep trying. Yeah, sometimes situation will be different. Yeah, if you keep trying, then, you know. At least once we experience that taste, we always feel I want to get back to that, you know, that state. So that's very good.
My experience would be like when I was doing the service in the kitchen. So at that time, like how you said that, don't get attached to the service, rather attached to the spirit of the service. That part I didn't know. So I was, all the time I was thinking Saturday is like, somehow it got into my mind that I have to do it and no one should be there to make kind of, probably because if, two persons are in the kitchen, I
conflict.
Don't get the phone to move around as fast as I would want to.
Super express.
So that's when Diti Mataji also started coming. So the way she was handling, I wasn't able to tolerate it. I was getting angry. Why she's doing this? Why she's doing this? So I'm just because I was doing service didn't mean that like I was totally purified, okay, now she can do whatever. Like, I was really getting angry, and that's when... Rakesh Prabhu said, do you see how much angry you are getting? You shouldn't be doing this. Krishna won't accept your offering. You will get so much angry. And even though I knew that, like, I'm getting angry, but still I wasn't able to control it. I was, like, praying And then after Karsampan, just took a couple of incidents happened in between. When as if like Krishna told me, hey, this is not right what you are doing. Like something of that sort of happened. And but that's not a big conditioning.
Mm.
Even though like I was in the kitchen, like, just there in the temple still.
Yeah.
I wasn't giving up my temper.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll go to the next verse then. Last verse we wanted to discuss. 6 number 9. Kavim Puranam Anushashitaram Anor Aniyam Sham Anusmaredya Sarvasya Dataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasaparastat. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is oldest, who is the controller, who is the smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond his material nature. So in this verse, Krishna is talking about 10 ways we can remember Krishna. No? How a yogi meditates on the super soul, the 10 ways, especially this is like Yoga Mishra Bhakti. No, 10 different ways, like, you know, one as how can, one who knows everything, one is oldest. Oldest knows everything, of course we know, right? He knows past, present and future. Oldest is because he is the one, you know, from whom everybody else is born. And he is the controller. He is smaller than the smallest space, even in the smallest ant, Krishna is as a super soul. Then he is a maintainer of everything, we understand this. Who is beyond all material conception. Because it's completely transcendental. It was inconceivable. Means we cannot, with our mind and senses, mental abilities, we cannot understand his potencies. And who is always a person. So, you know, it emphasizes that he is a supreme person. He is luminous like the sun. No, he is as brilliant as the sun. And he is transcendental beyond this material nature. So, these are 10 ways. You know, you may be asked to remember these 10 ways. Then we'll read one section of the purport, like last few lines. That's what Srila Prabhupada is elaborating all these points. So I just briefly summarized those points. So we can read last few lines talking about this Achintya Shakti of the Lord. Achintya means?
That which is beyond this material world. That which our argument, logic and philosophical speculation cannot touch. That which is inconceivable. Therefore, intelligent persons avoiding useless argument and speculation should accept what is stated in scriptures like the Vedas, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and follow the principles they set down. This will lead one to understand.
Mm. So, inconceivable means through our argument speculation we cannot understand. That's why Radhakrishna Prabhu always says, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, if you read second canto, it's so many details about creation. Mind-boggling, no, you cannot even envision. Like, you know, so the dimensions, everything is so difficult. So, you know, don't try to, you know, understand it. You know, just hear it, and just in the, just as the time goes, Krishna, if needed, Krishna will reveal the answers. Just accept it, hear it, and just continue like that. No, because Krishna has to reveal the knowledge to us. You know, it's not our ability to understand, right? If somebody is knowledgeable, somebody, it's not their endeavor, actually, it's the mercy. Lord gives that capacity for somebody. Then, you know, then other thing, one incident happened about this. Srila Prabhupada once in some class, he was describing about Brahma. Brahma's, you know, which is Brahma's vehicle?
Swan.
So he was talking about, you know, Brahma's vehicle is swan, like that. And the question answer somebody asked, you know, Srila Prabhupada, Brahma's vehicle is swan. Is it, you know, really or is it, what is the word used? Is it you know, casual or some word? I don't remember the word actually. Yeah, it's there in notes. Is it just symbolic? Yeah, symbolic. Is it just to, you know, show some, you know, symbolic like that, you know, he used. And Prabhupada said, why symbolic? No, why are you saying like that? No, what experience have you got? You know, you see only what you see it here and there. What experience have you got about different planetary systems? No, why you think like that? That's why, you know, you should stop speculating and hear from Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, you know, take the knowledge from there instead of your speculation. So we think about things based on our experience. You know, there is a milk ocean actually. Now then we think, oh, how can there be milk ocean? The Prabhupada says, you know, if it can be salt water ocean, if it can be, why can't it be milk ocean? No, like that. So we should take shastras, we should not approach from what our experience is. We take it, especially if you know the source is bona fide, then we just accept it and hopefully, you know, we pray that some one day we'll have the realization about that. So that's the way we approach Krishna. No, we Krishna also says, Bhakti Amam Abhijanati. Only by devotional service can I be known as I am. Not any other way. So for that bhakti, one's heart has to be soft. Soft. That's the message. It's very, very soft. So we should have feelings. Feelings for our family members. Not in a mundane enjoyment way, but in a way of service to the Lord. If, yeah.
So I have this question about this and who is always a person. So like last time we discussed about all these Maharas, Guru Maharas, they are so elevated and still they are so humble. So when they talk to us, we make offense by taking them as granted, like, yeah, they are like just us and we can talk like a normal way or something like that. So that's when we make offense. Because we are thinking that they are just like a normal person. Similarly, when we see Krishna as a like so just person, that's when we tend to do so many offenses. At least I definitely do offenses, like offering food. So it's not like really very purified the way it should be actually. So sometimes I kind of dilute the thing. Like dilute in the sense cannot very strictly I follow the regulations. So, but when I imagine Krishna's like just see the sky and how it's just a fragrant, just a small particle at this big sky, and so I cannot even imagine how big actually he is. So that's when you automatically the tendency will be like being humble and kind of you will bow down. There is no other way. But when I see him as a person, I'm like standing straight. I'm looking at his eyes in the temple. When I see the deity, I'm seeing him in the eyes. But can I actually see him in the eyes? No, I shouldn't be, right? So these offenses, even I don't know if it's an offense or something, but I feel it is an offense. So seeing him as a person is making me, but from his side, is he that merciful that he doesn't consider these as offenses? He will forgive all these things, or how he actually is?
Yeah, so he's a person, but he is a supreme person. We should not just remove that supreme and think he's a person like you and me, like that, you know, that's wrong. He is a supreme person. That's not clarified here, but always Prabhupada says, right? He is a supreme person. He is Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. He is the one whom, there are all eternals. He is the one supreme eternal who maintains all others. He is the one who is maintaining all of us. So it's not like one of us. So under illusion, we think he is one of us. No, that's a mistake. And sometimes the tendency is to be sahajya. Think that, oh, I have this relationship with Krishna, or Krishna is smiling at me today, or I decorated him like this, he is happy with it, or, you know, he is happy, he is smiling at my, looking, appreciating my bhoga. The tendency is there to think that, you know, we are having that loving relationship with Krishna, all those things. No, that sahajya mentality is there, but we should watch out, you know, under proper guidance, you know, we should get, seek advice from seniors.
What kind of thought comes into your mind? How do you basically approach that thought?
Like, which thought?
Like, this thought. That, hey, Krishna is smiling at me, or like he will appreciate my bhoga and something like that. I haven't thought about that, but still, if it comes, so how do you actually address those thoughts? Hey, don't think that this is.
No, that's okay. Yeah, of course, Krishna is, you know, is receiving our love, you know, he is personally reciprocating in different ways. But, you know, we don't focus on those things yet right now. We are focusing on, you know, purifying ourselves better. Because otherwise we think I'm already reached the pure state and already I'm having loving relationship with Krishna. We stop there. But we should always feel I'm not qualified enough to serve Krishna. Always there is a room for improvement. Always, you know, my offering is not good enough for Krishna. I can do always better. And of course, you know, why you say you are asking about how Krishna sees, you know, how we are seeing him, right? So Krishna is Bhavagrahi, right? He sees the essence. He sees the sincerity. He's accepting our love. He's accepting our feeling. He's not accepting the things we offer. He doesn't care about things. He has so many things. He has so many universes, right? So many worlds he has. He doesn't care about things. He's accepting the love. Is the love. So these way, the bhoga, the services are ways for us to express our love. The sincerity, the determination, the steadiness by which we do this, that's what is our love for Krishna. That's the essence he's taking it out of it, out of us. So that's what he's going to see. So he's going to just take the sincerity out of it. Like, you know, milk, swan, Hamsa. Hamsa takes the milk out of the, when water and milk are mixed together, he just takes the milk and leaves the water behind. Like that, you know, Krishna just takes the essence. He takes the best thing in us. But, you know, we see always the bad thing in others. So that's one thing. And yeah, I think that's what, right? Yeah, other thing is, so offering bhoga, we are not actually qualified to offer Krishna. It's not like, you know, Krishna is sitting and I'm putting, you know, we are not doing it. We are offering on behalf of Guru Parampara. Now, whoever is aspiring, we are first, we say our Guru Pranam Mantra. So we offer to our Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj offers to his Guru, Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada, like that, Guru, 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 and goes, and they offer, Brahma offers to Krishna. That's how we offering goes. And then when Krishna tastes, it comes down like that, as Maha to us. It's not like Krishna directly we are giving and he is eating from bite, one bite he is giving to us. It's not like that. We are not so close and so far. No, we are not so advanced.
So
no,
you are saying between Krishna and the devotee, there would always be guru.
Yes.
It's like a string of gurus rather.
Exactly. So yeah, this is a very good point. I think we should stop here. But you know, one thing is like, you know, guru is he right now here in this world is directing us, is training us to become perfect devotee of Krishna. And even in spiritual world, the relationship is not about training, but guru is like, you know, he has a group. A group of gopis, he's a leader of group of gopis and you're one of the gopi kind of thing. So he has certain service for Krishna, you're helping the guru in that service to Krishna. So, but still you are under his direction, but not like training about, you know, and controlling senses and all those things. But let's say guru's service is to make garlands. So you pick flowers for him. That you assist the guru in his service to Krishna. That's how you do. But still you have association with your guru and there also, but in your spiritual bodies. But anyway, these are all esoteric. We don't even need to talk about all this. But yeah. But just for completion, I shared that. Okay? We'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Atvarishtu Srila Prabhupada.